This is the seventh installment of Flamenco Today,
a series of podcasts created by Margaret Hova
and Jose Luis Greco, which are associated with the Spanish Dance and Flamenco Choreography Competition and are available on our website, certamenflamenco.com.
And on my YouTube channel, as well as other podcast platforms.
Our idea is to interview renowned and upcoming performers and choreographers,
as well as musicians and composers of the Spanish dance world.
We met with Rafaela Carrasco at my office here in Madrid. She was in the middle of production process for her latest work, Nocturna, and we asked her to tell us a little bit about her beginning as a young dancer in Andalucía.
Pues yo soy Rafaela Carrasco, bailaora, sobre todo bailaora. Además de otras muchas cosas que...
I'm Rafaela Carrasco, flamenco dancer, primarily dancer, besides many other things that complete my very wide-ranging artistic activities. I'm also a choreographer, director, teacher. In other words, there are many profiles that could define who I am. And whenever I take on one of these profiles, I discover something new about myself. But of all of them, make up who this Rafaela Carrasco is. I started dancing when I was 6. I'm from a town near Sevilla, Tomares. And even though, still today, at that time even more, children learn to dance the Sevillanas very early on. It's something very normal, a way of sharing at parties, at fairs, at baptisms, meetings, at Christmas. In all of these situations, we dance Sevillanas. It's something very popular. So I started dancing very young. I was 6 years old. And I never stopped dancing after that. I don't remember my childhood very well, but I don't recall any time in my life not dancing. I started at 6 years old. I studied at an academy in my town for 2 years, where we learned Sevillanas, Sevillanas boleras, castanets. In fact, I remember a Sevillanas competition in my town, and there's a photo of me in which the castanets are bigger than my hand. I was very small.
Un concurso de Sevillana de la feria de mi pueblo, y tengo una foto que el palillo era más grande que la mano. Era muy pequeña yo. Cuando tenía a los 8 años yo quería seguir aprendiendo y en la academia aquella de pueblo pues no abarcábamos más, no se abarcaba más.
When I was 8 years old, I wanted to continue studying, and that academy had nowhere to teach me. I begged and begged my mother. I mean, now, everywhere is easy to get to, but then, to get to Sevilla, there was only one bus every hour, and it was a real ordeal for my mother to go and come back. My mother is very wise, although she's illiterate in a more academic sense, but absolutely wise in a worldly way. My home has always been very humble. My mother worked cleaning other folks' houses. My father was a mason, and I was one of 4 siblings. So economically, we just got by.
Mi padre era encofrador, albañil, o sea que, y yo era la chica de 4. Entonces, económicamente hemos ido siempre, bueno, no nos ha faltado de nada, pero tampoco ha sobrado nunca nada.
So I found out on my own that a schoolmate of mine was attending a dance academy in Sevilla. It was Matilde Corral's academy. It was like finding the place. I said, Mom, now I know where you have to take me. You have to take me to Sevilla, to an academy a friend of mine goes to, Matilde Corral's academy. I begged and begged, and finally she took me. I started at Matilde Corral's academy when I was 8 and did the whole course of classical Spanish dance. I was very fortunate to end up there, because there I learned the basics of everything. We did classical ballet, escuela bolera, folklore, flamenco. And all the while, my mother, poor thing, she took me, she worked in the mornings, and she'd take me in the afternoons. She'd pack the snack for me, a sandwich in her bag, to take to the academy. It was an adventure every day. School, academy, school. This discipline that we learn in dance from the time we're very young, it has to be vocational, otherwise there's just no way.
Esto sí que tiene que ser vocacional, si no, no hay manera de... Yo no estudié más. No hice el instituto.
After that, I left school. I didn't go to high school. I needed to be able to teach. I started giving classes very early on. When I was 12 or 13, I started a little academy, if you could call it that, in the attic of our house. My father built a dance floor for me. Floorboards weren't too steady, and we put up a sliver of mirror. And there I gave class, just of Sevillanas, because I couldn't teach anything else. So I taught other little girls to dance sevillanas and made a bit of money that way. It was a question of survival, but also restlessness. I've always been very restless. So as soon as I turned 14, I changed my schedule and went to the academy in the mornings and gave classes in the afternoons. When I was 17, going on 18, I went on an audition that Mario Maya was holding for his company. I passed the audition and was hired as a dancer and as a rehearsal mistress. I stayed with the company 4 years, but I never stopped giving my classes. Teaching has always been a part of my career.
Siempre conmigo en toda mi carrera.
We asked Rafaela to tell us about her earliest professional experiences when she entered Mario Maya's company at 16, and from then on.
I did a number of things during those 4 years, until 1994. I was 21, if I'm not mistaken, and it was when the Compañía Andaluza de Danza, which is now called the Ballet Flamenco de Andalucía, was founded. Mario Maya was given the direction of that company. I joined the company with the title of soloist and also as the rehearsal mistress. I've always been rehearsal mistress. I think because of my teaching, explaining, teaching, observing, analyzing has always been part of my nature. And with Mario, I learned all the details of everything that has to do with theater and choreography. What else? Well, at 23, I finished there and came to Madrid.
Me vine por inquietud, porque en Sevilla no había nada, salvo el ballet andaluz.
I came to Madrid out of restlessness. In Sevilla, there was nothing besides the ballet andaluz, the Compañía Andaluza de Danza. Of course, there were tablaos. In my time, I worked, for example, in the tablao Los Gallos. But I've always been more interested in choreography, creating, and I needed as well to find my own identity. At that time, going to Madrid was like going to discover yourself, become a soloist, find your place. I arrived and Belén Maya was a great help to me, and I began to give classes in the Amor de Dios studios, and that helped me develop my style, my way of creating, inventing steps, creating continuously because I have the obligation of teaching, giving material to my students, and that demanded many hours in the studio alone, inventing material, finding your style, discovering your way of doing things. Coming to Madrid was the search for my identity, above all, as a performer.
Llegar a Madrid fue eso, la búsqueda de mi identidad, como intérprete, sobre todo, primero.
Rafaela talked about her first major choreography, A Cinco, which she presented to the certamen in 2002 and won all the major prizes.
Hasta que, como siempre ha ido la creación como paralela a mí, a todo este mundo de intérprete, yo tenía la necesidad también de contar.
As for me, creating has always been a parallel path to my performing. I also had the need to tell things from my point of view. So in 2002, I created my own company. It was the moment, I said to myself, let's see what I'm capable of. I created the first piece, A Cinco. I had a choreographic world in my head that I felt was very different from anything else there was on the level of flamenco and choreographic and staging ideas in flamenco. What there was seemed to me too neat, too well-ordered, is the term, very linear, very flat, everyone doing the same thing. I was very interested in contemporary dance from the point of view of creation, staging ideas, choreographic ideas, how something developed in the scenic space, how many different things occurred simultaneously on the stage. In flamenco, everything seemed to me very predictable. We already knew beforehand what was going to happen. Nothing surprised me. And I said, more has to happen. And so I thought that we had to try, and I created that piece, which I presented in the certamen. We had Concha Jareño, Olga Pericet, Manuel Liñán, Marco Flores, and Daniel Doña. We were all very young. Well, not so much me, I was 30. But the others were between 19 and the early 20s.
Sí, eran todos muy jóvenes. Bueno, éramos todos, yo ya no tanto, yo tenía 30 años, pero eran todos de 19 a 20 y poco.
¿Cuándo te volveré a ver?
Mira, para esa pieza la creó Arcadio Marín, que ya no está, no está entre nosotros. Creó una pieza. Ellos son músicos que siempre han estado alrededor mía como solista. Jesús Torres, Arcadio Marín, mi marido Pablo Suárez, José Luis López con el...
The music for that piece was created by Arcadio Marín, who's passed away. He created a piece with musicians who've always been around me as a soloist. Besides Arcadio, there was my husband Pablo Suárez, José Luis López on cello. At the time, there was also an Indian musician, a percussionist, Raja Bhopal, who was here for some time working in flamenco, playing the tablas. A musical world which, like everything else, I didn't want to leave it with just a guitar and a singer, but rather what I wanted to create wasn't just steps and effects. Flamenco has always been somewhat sensationalist. I was more interested in creating a world that would take you to different places, even though it was not anecdotal, but that it would provide a dramatic or dramaturgical context, a global concept in which the music, the dance, the aesthetic, everything would have a reason why and make sense, nothing gratuitously looking for applause, nothing sensationalist, but rather creating another world. The music for the piece was already created. Other times I ask for the music depending on what I want. I explain to the musician very clearly what it is I need, what character it should have, if it should have a particular rhythm, or if it should follow a particular flamenco palo. If we want to tell the story, the music should be created with that idea in mind, that intention, that character, that emotion. Arcadio already had the piece made, and it interested me because it had a meter of 5/4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, doom, da, 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 doom, and so forth. It interested me because I've always been very rhythmic. I work a lot with rhythm. So I thought, wow, let's see what we can get out of that. And besides, the composition used 4 instruments. So what I did was personify what each instrument did and what each of the dancers would do. So each dancer did exactly what each of the instruments did. So there was the combination of 4 dancers, each with his or her own particular world, which was exactly the choreographic concept I was looking for. Each dancer would have his or her own identity, but that the choreography would have a sense of unity. And it was all based on the musical composition. At the certamen, the music won the prize for best original music for dance. The choreography won the choreographic prize, and Daniel Doña won the best soloist prize. When the final show ended, I rushed out of the theater to catch a plane with Pablo, my husband. And on the phone, while waiting to embark, I was listening to the prize awarding ceremony, and I started crying like a little girl.
Ganamos el premio bailarín sobresaliente que se le dio a Daniel Doña. Terminé la actuación de la final. Salí pitando para el aeropuerto con Pablo, con mi marido, y por teléfono en el aeropuerto esperando, estaba escuchando cuando se estaban dando los premios, y yo iba llorando como una niña.
Vieja luna, no te vayas, sol nuevo, no te despiertes.
Rafael told us about her successes and recognition, about her different productions, and about the difficulties she encountered, and about her tenure with the Ballet Flamenco de Andalucía.
Bueno, son muchos años de creaciones. Llevo no sé cuántas creaciones hechas y son muchos años de creaciones, de dirección. A ver, yo siempre dirijo mis espectáculos porque me gusta. Me gusta meterme en ese mundo sin preparación, quiero decir.
It's been a lot of years of creating. I don't even know how many pieces I've created and directed. I always direct my own shows because I like to immerse myself in that world without really preparing myself intuitively. It's true that over the years one learns certain things, knows whether something will work or not. But the way has been one of trial and error. But I've always been very interested in being on the inside and being at the same time on the outside. To put myself in the public shoes, to experience those climates, the show's rhythms, how that world is created in terms of character and rhythm, what pieces are appropriate, how are you going to tell the story, how are you going to project a dramaturgy in dance. There's a whole world there that I love to do and experience. It's not easy, but I love it. So I never put myself in the hands of a director because I love doing that work myself. I've learned little by little. It's meant many years of work, of being inside and outside and having perhaps a very well-defined way of working. And I think that if you see any of my work, you will recognize it as mine. It has, above all, a very aesthetic quality, painstakingly worked out, and very poetic. I think my work is very well-defined.
Trabajo muy estético, muy cuidado y muy elaborado y muy poético. Y se ve muy bien el trabajo, creo que se identifica muy bien los trabajos que yo hago.
In this country, it is impossible to have a private company. You don't have the infrastructure or the money. We work on a project-by-project basis and the lifespan that any one project has. And of course, that lifespan, when no one knows who you are, is very short. 3 or 4 performances, and into the closet it goes. On to the next one. This has meant that we've created many shows in one format or another. I've worked with many different artists. I've always had a good eye for choosing people to work with.
He tenido siempre buen ojo para elegir a la gente, a trabajar con
ellos. Vi una llama que jala los deseos de esta vida. Vi una llama que alquila los deseos de esta vida. Vi a mis padres que no tienen.
Ahí llegamos un poco a que se abre una convocatoria nueva para el ballet andaluz y yo presento proyecto y me cogen mi proyecto.
Then came along a new call for projects from the Compañía Andaluza. So I presented a project, and I was chosen. So into a big new adventure, because I was already teaching at the conservatory in Madrid, something I couldn't just abandon. Being at the conservatory is a place that means long-term economic stability, something we artists don't usually have. So I made a plan in which I go to work 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I give classes at the conservatory. Wednesday afternoon, I take the train to Sevilla, rehearsals with the company, Thursday and Friday, leaving everything marked out, give a class on Saturday, come back to Madrid on Sunday, teach at the conservatory Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, anyhow, like that for 3 years, and that with a 10-year-old child, and creating 3 shows for the Ballet Andaluza, and also completing my master's degree on the train. In other words, a lot of work. But I feel I have the capacity and the desire to do it. Those are moments that it seems you can't say no, because they're important opportunities. And then you find yourself with a pre-existing infrastructure like that of the Ballet Flamenco de Andalucía. It's not without its difficulties, because working with a public entity is complex. But when working in your own company, there's not much money, but you use it as you see fit and when and how you want to. But there, in the national or public company, there's a different way dictated by the company. But there's an infrastructure, there's a budget, a rehearsal space, technicians, daily work with the dancers. Wow, marvelous. Well, that was another proving ground for me, especially in a choreographic sense. Having a company with more dancers, I had to figure out what to do with that many dancers. How do I create? How do I go about researching? In the end, it was not so different. I choreographed and directed. In those 3 years, I was only occupied with creating and directing for the company. The 20th or 25th anniversary of the company happened during my time there. For the occasion, I created Imágenes, 5 pieces inspired by pieces created by former directors of the company. But it was just an idea for inspiration. The choreography was totally original. Then I created Tierra Lorca, in which I worked with the Spanish popular songs arranged and performed by La Argentinita and Lorca. I had, previous to my work with that company, done something on my own with my own company with one of the songs, Vamos al Tiroteo. But with the Ballet Andaluz, I went into this material more deeply, and we performed it one summer in the Generalife y en the Alhambra.
Hice una inmersión ahí con Vamos al tiroteo, que era un espectáculo de compañía privada. Y ahí nos profundicé por otro lado e hicimos Tierra Lorca. Y estuvimos también otro verano en el Generalife.
Rafaela told us about her present as a choreographer after having left the Compañía Andaluza de Danza, and she told us about her latest production, Nocturna, as well as her creative process.
Yo terminé del ballet y empecé otra vez con compañía privada. Es verdad que cuando estaba en el ballet tenía muy claro que no perdía mi identidad a nivel de crear.
When I finished with the Ballet Andaluz, I went back to forming my own company. It's true that when I was working with that company, I didn't want to lose my own identity in terms of creating, choreographing, and scenic concept. But I was very aware of the context in which I was working. In other words, the Ballet Flamenco de Andalucía has its own identity, so there were certain things I couldn't permit myself to do. It's a public institution run with state money. It has its own image in the public eye, an identity which is completely Andaluz.
Es un sitio donde tiene, bueno, es una imagen. Es algo que está de cara al mundo exterior de alguna forma con una identidad andalucía. Entonces yo no perdí mi.
So I didn't lose my own identity, but I had to be aware of where I was. So the more risky or delicate proposals that I could explore with my own company, I couldn't permit myself to explore there. So when I left again, I found that intimacy with which I like to work, that delicacy, the way of finding something profound, more deep, less superficial. I hope I'm making myself clear.
Esa delicadeza, esa manera de encontrar una profundidad más en el fondo que quizás en la exposición. No sé si se me entiende.
Then I started working with Álvaro Tato, a marvelous dramaturg, a great dramaturg, writer, actor. He's worked a lot for the National Theatre Company of Spain. A very interesting man. I told him I need him to provide me with a dramaturgy, but leave me the freedom to create so that I can use your dramaturgy in my own way. We established a wonderful dialogue between us. He gave me the narrative and intellectual structure in which I placed my pieces, and the whole gains in solidity.
Entonces me encontré un diálogo muy, muy, muy bonito entre los dos. Él me da el soporte argumental, me da el soporte intelectual, me da ese soporte en el que yo coloco mis piezas y todo coge mucho más lugar, ¿no? Mucha más. Sí, eso es, como todo.
It's true that I've always developed my pieces on my own, but now things became more solid, more powerful, and profound. We made a wonderful piece, Nacida en Sombra, which was based on the lives of four women from Spain's Golden Age. An incredible poetic work, with texts by Álvaro read by the wonderful Blanca Portillo, a real gift. Then we made Ariadna, Al Hilo del Mito, in which we worked with the myth of Ariadne, not exactly relating the myth, but rather using it to explore different existential states of the human condition.
Contando el mito de Ariadna, sino utilizándolo para trabajar diferentes estados existenciales del ser humano. Y después el último trabajo que acabamos de hacer el año pasado, que estrenamos en Bienal y que ahora estamos en gira, que es Nocturna, Arquitectura del Insomnio.
And the last work, which we've just finished and premiered last year, and which we're now touring, is Nocturna, Arquitectura del Insomnio. 10 marvelous women on stage spanning an incredible range of ages, from my 50 years to the youngest who is 22. We've lived through experiences of all types, for the younger ones learn from the more mature and experienced ones, and the older ones benefit from the freshness, enthusiasm, and searching of the younger ones. So there was a work process with the 10 women that was amazingly beautiful. And it's a completely new idea for me, as there's no live music on stage, apart from a female flamenco singer, Gema Caballero. A whole soundscape was created to evoke a night of insomnia, from the onset of night until the dawn, which creates different sound atmospheres, restlessness, discomfort, also poetics. And we also have the voice of Aitana Gómez, another gift.
Desde la noche hasta el amanecer, creando ambientes sonoros, creando inquietud, creando incomodidad, pero creando también mucha poesía, con un trabajo muy bonito. Y aquí tenemos también la voz de Aitana Gómez, o sea, otro regalo.
Mi corazón.
O sea, yo tengo claro una idea, un concepto, donde quiero ir, pero a partir de ahí...
I start with a very clear idea of a concept, of where I want to go with it. But from there on, we start to feed off one another. Each one controls his or her own territory, and each one contributes and goes on contributing. And I act as a filter. This yes, that no, this goes with my idea, that is something new. And ideas start percolating. And with a musical composition, the same thing happens. First, we need to have the idea very clear, the argument, the dramaturgy, even if we're not telling an anecdotal story. But what is important is knowing what path this is going to follow, what process is going to take place. From that point onwards, what's the intention? What's the character? What feelings? What emotions are there in all of this? So from there, the piece starts growing, thinking about what we want to say, what emotion it will have, its rhythm, and if we're going to use a palo flamenco, if it helps and supports the idea, but not as a traditional flamenco palo. But the musical composition should be very varied and rich. We can go very far without losing the identity of what we want to do. I need to do that kind of work before going into the studio to create movements. I can't work gratuitously, thinking up steps in a vacuum which later I'll put somewhere. So that teamwork is very important in that everyone works towards a common goal, one enriching the other and creating a work of consistency which has its own evolution.
¿Sabes? Un trabajo que va teniendo su evolución. Porque a Madrid no soy capaz de entrar, ¿veis? Esta cosa de difícil.
I don't have access to Madrid. Another difficulty. Teatros del Canal doesn't respond, Teatro Español neither, Matadero the same thing. I mean, at 50 years old, with so much work behind me, with the National Dance Prize, and I still can't get booked in Madrid. Suma Flamenca. I better not talk about Suma Flamenca because the situation is beyond belief. But actually, let them hear from me that there's no place in Madrid for me to work. It's just not normal.
En Madrid para trabajar. Está muy bien que se enteren porque no es normal.
Happily, Rafaela's company has been programmed in the Teatro de la Zarzuela, one of the most prestigious theaters in Madrid, with her production Nocturna. And after that, she has taken the company on tour to Russia and various other European and Latin American countries.
All the musical excerpts heard on this podcast are from the different shows of the artists interviewed.